Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. Be reading from the King James Version. Decided to title this today, Ready or Not. You know, here in the States, I'm sure worldwide, we all play hide and go seek. And I don't know what you guys say today, but when I was a kid, when the person counting was ready, they said, ready or not, here I come. Well, the bottom line is someone's coming looking for us pretty soon. And we need to be ready. And he's coming whether we're ready or not. Can someone say amen? Repentance makes the heart ready for Jesus. Psalms 51, verse 10, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Amplified Version I like to teach you, I said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Hallelujah. We're going to talk today about something that everyone here is familiar with, some more than others, a thing called preparation. Hallelujah to God. Every one of us spend a whole lot of time preparing for things, getting ready. It just doesn't happen instantaneously. We have to prepare for things. Amen? The fact that you're here in this building today is proof you've at least some experience in preparing for things. You had to get up this morning. You had to prepare. You had to get out the bed and hopefully showered, and then you dressed and you traveled here and you're prepared, sort of. Got yourself ready to come into the house of God. Amen? I'm afraid to say, the truth be told, that some of us actually spent more time this morning picking out the clothes we're wearing than preparing ourselves to meet Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to beat you up too bad today. It is the Christmas season. I'll try to have some peace on earth and goodwill toward y'all. But the bottom line is, we want to receive things from God. We want to receive Jesus, but we're not prepared for him. I know around my house, and I'm not picking on my wife because this happens in every house, I'm sure of it. When company's coming, the house gets just a little bit extra clean. You know, the things get dusted you might be willing to forget if just you're there with your old man or your wife or, you know, whatever it may be. But when companies come, you spend a little extra time getting ready. Amen? No one wants to admit to that, but it's still true. When company's coming, see, the men are afraid to say anything. The women are just plain mad. Hallelujah. You women, you men, I see wisdom coming out there right now. You're not saying a word. Amen? I'm not saying anything wrong with that. It's just a fact of life. When something special is happening, we prepare for it just a little bit more. Can someone say amen? If you're planning a vacation, if anyone still does that around here, you plan a little bit ahead of time. You try to put aside some money. You spend a little bit of time. Amen? If you're just going down the road to see grandma, it takes less time, but it still takes preparation. Nothing is really that spontaneous in life. Some people are spontaneous. Other people get mad at people who are spontaneous. Things have got to be planned. Amen? I'm a mixture of both, so I'm conflicted. Hallelujah to God. Now, I also understand, I want to be right up front here and let you know, I do understand that we have overcrowded schedules and our lives are much too busy. I get that, okay? But most of us, if not all, in spite of all of that, we forget to prepare ourselves spiritually. We get ready to show ourselves, we get ready to be in public, but we don't prepare ourselves on the drive from the house or for a few moments when we come into the church, prepare ourselves to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with our hands out. Sometimes our hands are up in worship, but most of the times our hands are out in want. We want, and God says, ask and I'll give. That's all correct. But we don't prepare ourselves to come into his presence. I would have to ask, if you were going out on a job interview and you're going to meet somebody of some importance, you would probably prepare a little bit better for it. You would dress a little bit different, make sure your hair was slicked back or up or over or back or whatever it may be. Well, it all depends. Did you ever see that? I haven't quite got there yet. I'm getting closer. We got to comb the back of the hair forward to cover the bald spot. The papers were passed around. What happened to them? You didn't get them. Okay. Hallelujah. If we're going to see somebody important, we prepare. Glory unto God. And again, without sounding legalistic or pushing the issue too much, how much more important is it to come in the presence of Jesus? our minds and our hearts are all on things that maybe they shouldn't be, or things that we can't do anything about anyway. Please don't raise your hand, but if anyone's here who's worrying about paying their bills for this week, banks don't open until tomorrow morning anyway. At least give this time to Jesus. Give a little bit of time. Be a little bit prepared. Can someone say amen or oh my? Everything in the time we're living in, working, school, parenting, everything takes preparation. There's no such thing. If how many here are still in like junior high or high school, or y'all still going to school, right? You're preparing for your future. It's 12 years minimum, and then you think about your college, and you think about your post-grad. But that's all preparation so you can make a living and raise your family. It's all preparation. Amen? If you're going to work every day, you've got to prepare to go to work. Brother Dave, I really hope you are mentally prepared to drive that truck tomorrow morning or this morning, whenever you're going to work. Because I just might find myself on the opposite side of the highway going towards you. I want you to be prepared for such things. Hallelujah to God. It's a challenge in the times we're living in. It's a challenge to actually prepare ourselves each and every Sunday to meet with and to worship and receive our needs from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a challenge. I know that. I know it's difficult. We don't always have some folks work. My poor wife worked last night and into this morning. She's got to go back to work today. There's others here who work similar schedules. I understand that. But I also understand that we need to spend a little bit of time, and not only on Sunday mornings, by the way, but every day, being prepared to meet Jesus face to face. Now, let me get the gruesome side of this over with first. We have no guarantee that we will see tomorrow morning. Okay? I mean, whether it be through health, we got ladies here who work in a healthcare profession. No one is guaranteed the next day, the next moment, the next hour. So we might meet Jesus that way, okay? But even if we don't meet him that way and we're blessed to live another day, we still have to meet Jesus on a daily basis to meet our daily needs. And anybody here doesn't have needs every day? Anybody here only has needs on Sunday? I want y'all to tell me the secret of that. We all have needs. You know, I don't need Jesus just on Sundays. I need him every single day. Because someone will say amen. I don't feel sad and lonely just on Sundays. I get depressed during the week. Is anybody out there? Amen? I don't get sick or discouraged just on Sundays. It can happen any day. I don't face the devil just on Sunday. Trust me, I don't face the devil just on Sundays. It's every single day. I need to be with Jesus all the time. I find myself in need of miracles and healings every day of the week, not just on Sundays. So when I talk about preparation, it's not just for a 1.5 hour service. It's being prepared to come to Jesus at any moment, at any time. I happen to need Jesus. Now, maybe you don't, but I need Jesus all the time. So I need to be prepared to meet him all the time. Now, this may not happen to you, or it might. It happens to me a lot being a pastor. My phone will ring, and there's someone who needs spiritual guidance. Meanwhile, I'm busy yelling at the dog. Or yelling at the TV set, that's even stupider. I'm aggravated about something. I am not prepared. And they say, oh, Pastor, will you pray for me? And I'm expected at that moment to lead them before the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth of the matter is, I shouldn't be before the Lord Jesus Christ in that particular time. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to think about it this way. Would you be able, not to mention comfortable, but would you be able to stand before Jesus and receive anything you need from him in your present condition? And that's the question I want us to ask all the time. I know we backslide. I know we make mistakes. I know we sin. I understand all that. I do. The problem I have is when we stay that way. I make mistakes all the time. I get angry way too often. I do and say things I am not proud of, but I'm not allowed to stay that way. Could I really take that when I'm in that condition? Could I really stand before God with that? Could I stand there and boldly ask of the King, knowing that I wasn't living right? I believe that's a question we need to all ask ourselves from time to time. Hallelujah. Are we able to stand before him and worship and adore him in our present state of readiness? Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms, where you can read with me. Psalms 24, verses 3 through 6. I think we sometimes, very foolishly, think, well, I just walk before God no matter what condition I'm in. Well, I guess it all depends where we're walking before Him. If we're coming for strength, if we're coming for forgiveness, if we're coming for, Lord, I need help here, that's cool. But I just can't understand why myself or anyone else would stand before God with some of the attitudes and thoughts we have and expect God to be pleased with it. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 6 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? David is asking a rhetorical question here because he already knows the answer. But I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves that question. Am I ready? Could I really stand before the Lord? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I do remember being a child. And one of the things I remember about my childhood is I got caught doing something in high school. And I had to stand before the Dean of Student Personnel, Mr. Plouffe. The name alone should tell you a lot about the man's personality. They picked him for the job. And I remember as he was instructing me. I remember I couldn't look him in the face. I remember I kept looking down. I couldn't even look at the man's face because I was guilty. Now, for me to stand there and say, well, it doesn't matter, I can stand before God and do that. If I couldn't stand before Mr. Plouffe, I will not be able to stand before God and look Him in the face and say, God, whatever I need. Amen? Who can do that? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation. I'm going to start working on this. This excited me last night. This is the generation. The generation we're living in. That's not an age group. That's a time span. This generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Let me give you just a really short, quick Hebrew lesson. Selah. Selah means stop and think it over. Yeah, there are certain things in the Bible we need to really just stop and think it over. Perhaps we need to stop and think it over and find out if we're really part of this generation. Are we the one that can stand before God? Can we go to His holy place with clean hands? I want you to think about that. It's not for me to tell you that, but it's up to you to think about that. John the Baptist, he challenged his listeners to prepare their lives so they would be ready for the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. John the Baptist, coming out of the desert, dressed funny, talking funny, eating funny, but what he said was no laughing matter. He challenged, he laid it before everyone who would listen to him, make yourselves ready. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. Get ready for Him. You know, it might do us well. It would serve our purposes very well. If just maybe we could take some time, I won't do it, but you can do it later, to identify any possible obstacles in our lives today. John was saying, make the path straight. Get things out of the way. Anything that the Lord can stumble or anything stand between you and Jesus, you need to deal with it. Maybe you and I, in this Advent season, this Christmas season, just maybe it would do us well to say, Lord, are there any obstacles? Some of them you already know. Some of them we don't have to ask, okay? Is there anything that can keep me from having a deeper relationship with you? Now, if you're born again, I'm not talking about the sins that are keeping you from salvation. I'm not talking about if you're born again. I'm talking about entering into a deeper relationship with Jesus. I don't know that any of us should ever come to a place of being totally satisfied with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord. The word strive has a wrong inclination to it. But we should be working towards, looking for. Hallelujah. The Word of God said, if you're going to strive for this. Strive for a closer relationship with Jesus. And some would say, amen. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. This is the beginning of the gospel according to the Apostle Mark. I want to, as we read this, go back and draw some similarities from the beginning of the book of Genesis. Mark writes from the King James Version, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. I want you to think about that, prepare thy way. Prepare the way before the Lord. I want you to keep that in mind. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, again, the word, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. When Mark starts out his message here, he starts out something that might be a little bit familiar to us. He starts out quoting almost from Genesis 1:1. Quoting from Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Mark starts off the beginning of the gospel. Just the same as the life and world as we know it had a moment when it actually began. It did not come together from hot gas or big bangs. It actually began in a moment when God said, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ability for you and I to come back into relationship with God, also had a defining moment. And Mark was pointing out here, intentionally, this was not a mistake, that there is a moment. There was a time. It started with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I were given the ability to have our lives right with God one more time. Hallelujah to God. This thing just didn't happen. It was a part of a design. Glory unto God. The ability for man to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ had a beginning. Glory. Mark saw Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as the beginning of the gospel. I want you to help me out and just say gospel. Just turn your ear and tell him gospel. Gospel is an important word that we don't use too much anymore. I like all the words like God's word, stuff like, but we need to be able to use the word gospel. Amen. The word gospel is very similar to an old English word, Godspell, what actually means good news. So when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about good news. What is the good news? That our lives can be in concert with God one more time. That the sin and separation can be over, and we can come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? Mark, I believe, intended in his writings, in this book, to point out the beginning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know that Jesus Christ didn't begin in the book of Mark. The Bible says he was there from the beginnings. He was there with Jesus. They put it all together. I hear a train. Okay. Bye. The rapture comes and you want to stay, you can have the microphone. You can finish the message. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. That'll throw you off. He saw the writings of his book as just the beginning of the gospel. I believe that's an important point, okay? Forgive me, my next statement sounds insulting or prideful, but I'm not overly interested in historic gospel. I'm interested in a good news for today. I'm really happy what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but I want to see what he's doing here today. Can someone say amen? I'm really glad that Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago. But I want to see the sick healed in this town today. Can someone say amen? I'm glad that Jesus fed 5,000 people at one time. But I want to know if he can provide for me right now in the midst of economic times, harsh times. Amen? I'm thrilled that he walked on the water then. But will he still come and rescue me today? I really believe that Mark had a thought and ability that he needed to make this message relevant. The people needed to know that Mark was talking to them. This is something important for us to know today, and is carried over from then until now. Mark saw the beginning But he also seen it was going to go on. Aren't you glad it went on? Because the same truth, the same power, the same glory that Mark wrote about, I can see right here in my own town today. There is good news for Holmesdale. There is good news for your family. There's good news for the school system. There's good news all around us, and that good news is the same as Jesus Christ is alive and waiting to save us. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah to God. Just as Mark, or when he began his gospel account, I found it interesting. You may not be. He launched right into the Old Testament. Amen? I think he probably did this because he knew that the audience who was going to read this and hear this would accept the Old Testament without question. Amen? But by connecting what he was saying about Jesus with the words of the Old Testament prophets, Mark actually built a validity for his own message in the minds of his readers. Again, being relative. If what we have to tell people about Jesus doesn't fit into their lives today, if it doesn't fit into what they know to be truth or what they see around them, then maybe we're not being relevant. Maybe our message has no value if people can't receive it. How many know the gospel is valuable? How many knows if someone won't receive it, it has no value? If people don't hear you, if people don't relate to it, it's of no value. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? When Mark used the quotation from Isaiah, which was actually mixed with Malachi, he emphasized to his readers something very special here. He emphasized the kingly state of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was a king. In those days, a king would often send a servant out ahead of him to call out that he was on the way. Mark was letting them know there was a king coming. It was common for people then, for Herod and others, to send servants out ahead and say, "The king is coming, the king is coming." That's what John the Baptist was doing. He was telling the people, "The king is coming. Get yourselves ready, the king is coming." Also, those servants were sent out to clear the path. If there was rocks and trees and dirt, whatever it may be in the way, their job was to remove all that stuff so when the king came, he had a smooth trip. Now, I want you to think about that and think about what John the Baptist was trying to tell us. One, that the king was coming, and two, we need to get the obstacles out of our way, out of his way. The obstacles of our own lives need to be taken aside, moved out of the way, because Jesus is coming through. Can someone say amen? The last half of the passage we read shows that John the Baptist did what was prophesied of him in the Old Testament. Excuse me if I take a drink here. I got a cold this morning. He came to prepare the way. He came specifically to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as the people repented, turned from their sins, asked forgiveness, made a 180-degree turn, in response to John's preaching and confessed their sins, their hearts were prepared to accept the coming King, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to say something here about John the Baptist. John the Baptist has a great interest in my mind. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was only a deliverer of the message. He was a preacher. That gets my attention right away. John had chosen a very distinct style of clothing and diet. It was not an accident. Okay? John was identifying with the prophets of old. If you go home, don't do it now, but go home and read 2 Kings. And read about the prophet Elijah. Elijah wore the same kind of clothing, camel's hair. And I found this in extra biblical readings one time. It interested me that when they put on the camel hair tunic, they turn the hair towards the inside. You're right. They did that as a reminder. They discomforted themselves. They didn't try to put on a silk suit. They didn't try to act like the big shot. They come across as the humble servants that they were meant to be. They were not the king. They were only messengers of the king. Can someone say amen? He humbled himself knowing how great the coming King Jesus is and was and would be. Hallelujah. It's important to be humble. It's important to never be flashier or more flamboyant than the king that we represent. Glory to God. In those days, it was the job of the lowest servant to untie a visitor's sandal and wash his feet. Hallelujah. John let the people know that as eloquent as persuasive as preaching might be, he was not. The words of John the Baptist brought many to repentance. He could have started the John the Baptist Evangelistic Association if he wanted to. But he didn't. He remained humble. The choice of locusts and wild honey was not some new health food fad. Amen? Locusts and wild honey was all that was available to the poorest of the poor. They ate insects. They drank honey. Now we go to the health food store to buy stuff like that. It was the cheapest thing that they could eat. Hallelujah. But he was willing to become humble. He was willing to remain humble so that Jesus could be exalted. William Temple, in a little book called Christ and His Church, wrote this. It says, humility. Humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than other people, nor does it mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means freedom from thinking about yourself one way or the other at all.
Whoa.
Hallelujah. We're coming into a lot of religious folks in church that refer to as Advent season. This refers to the first Advent or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? During the Advent season, it's a time of anticipation. Whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, it's a time of anticipation. It's also a time of cleansing in anticipation of a great celebration. Glory to God. I worked in a place one time, and during certain times of year, the Hasidic Jews would come in and purchase these little attachments you put on vacuums, like suck all the lint and stuff out of the cracks and crevices of their pants pocket and their living room furniture, because they believed that they needed to get totally clean, everything from the old taken away before they could celebrate. Well, you know, I'm not saying anybody here should do that. But they were serious about getting clean. Now, I can't help but think that us Christians, if we're waiting for Christ, we're anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if maybe we shouldn't be at least a little bit serious about getting cleaned up and getting ready for the celebration. Hallelujah. We anticipate his birth. We know he came, he died, he resurrected to make our lives in heaven possible. This was all done for us. Jesus didn't have to do any of this. He already had his. He was already the king. He didn't have to prove nothing. He came here for us. We're preparing to celebrate the birth of our great friend and Savior, Jesus. But as with any other celebration, preparation. We got to get ready. Now, I know we just came through Thanksgiving, and we're rushing into Christmas, and there's a lot of preparation that goes on. There's a lot of preparation goes on in the stores. I've seen it. A lot of preparation goes on in the traffic patterns. I see it. People are getting ready. They're spending their time getting ready to celebrate. Hallelujah. Perhaps we need to prepare. Preparation, or lack of, affects the final product. I want to read you a story, but I got to prefix it with that. Preparation or lack of preparation always affects the final result. Okay? So when we come and put ourselves before the Lord and lift ourselves up in church, and I said that on purpose, lift ourselves up in church, presenting ourselves before the Lord, if the preparation is not there, the end result cannot be good. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A number of months passed, and then years, but still no painting was brought to the palace. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated that he went to the artist's home and demanded an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist placed a blank canvas on the easel, and in less than an hour, he completed a painting which was to become a brilliant masterpiece. When the emperor asked the reason for the delay, what took so long? Why'd you just do it? The artist showed him armloads of drawings of feathers and wings, heads and feet. Then he explained that all of this research and study had been necessary before he could complete the painting. See, before he painted a bird, he needed to learn everything he could about birds. I wonder sometimes if we're not guilty of not being prepared. You know, there's always a lot to do just before Christmas. Can anyone say amen? There was a very tired amen there for those listening on the internet. There's always a lot to do just before Christmas. But I got to tell you today that Jesus cares more about our hearts than he does about our gifts and our decorations. Hallelujah. You may impress somebody with a gift, but that won't impress Jesus. Jesus. See, they can't see that on the internet. You can laugh at me now. One of the good things about the internet. I just dropped the microphone. I'll admit it. But I caught it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't fail. That was a great comeback. Jesus is more interested in our hearts than he is the gifts and decorations. Give me wisdom, Lord. You know, I talk to a lot of people, some in the church, some out of the church, and there's a real growing concern this year that Christmas might not be what it used to be. We may not be able to afford to have all the stuff we had last year. But I got to tell you something. It's really okay. It's really okay. Now, if you're on the receiving end, you probably won't agree with what I'm about to say, but you're better off getting one gift with all the love in the world than to get a whole bunch of gifts and have these people exasperated and angry around you. Amen? Hallelujah. One thing I also guarantee, I don't care how much you spend on the newest Xbox or whatever it is you're wanting, I'll guarantee you'll either grow tired of it or it'll break soon. And long after that's over and the thrill of that's gone, love will still be around. The love of Christ will never end. Amen? Hallelujah to God. God wants us to prepare ourselves. We can prepare our hearts by repenting of the actions and attitudes that are unworthy. They're unworthy for us to participate in if we're going to call ourselves friend and loved one of Jesus. There are some things that happen amongst people and in our own private lives that are unspeakable. We wouldn't want to have our thoughts and actions broadcast. Imagine if you could this is a terrible thought. Imagine if I could bring you up here and plug you into this overhead projector and all your thoughts for the last 48 hours, boom. I would not be on the volunteer list for that. But God gives us that privacy. But just because Becky can't see what I'm thinking and I can't see what Marilee's thinking doesn't mean that God can't see it. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to deal with that. He doesn't want to expose us like that silly thing I just said. But he wants to expose it between us and him. Bad attitude, shortness of temper, you name it. There's a whole list of things. Hallelujah. We can all prepare for the coming of Jesus by repenting of wrongdoing and living a life that's worthy of him. You know, our the worth of our life has nothing to do with what people think about us. It has everything to do with what Jesus thinks about us. Our scripture we started off with says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right, preserving, and steadfast spirit within me." Jeff, could you play something? Some Christmassy. Silent Night. That's one of my favorites. I think you can. Here's my question as we close today. Are you ready for Christmas? Now please, get your mind off Walmart. Get your mind off wherever you're buying your toys and presents and wherever, if you're in another nation. Well, Walmart's practically in every nation in the world, so maybe I am talking to you. But wherever it is where you're getting ready for Christmas, are you really ready? Are you ready for the appearance of Jesus Christ? Are you ready not in gifts and presents, but broken and clean hearts? Hallelujah. Some questions we can ask ourselves as we close. What is it that I need to repent of? If the answer comes back from heaven, nothing, praise God. You don't have to look for something. But is there something that could be an obstacle? Have we cleared the way for the king? Have we removed any or all obstacles for his arrival? Could Jesus walk right in the midst of your heart right now and do anything he wants to? Or would some of our actions, attitudes, and thoughts prevent him? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Hallelujah. A lot of folks are last-minute shoppers. Let's not be last-minute Christians. Let's not wait until the king arrives. Let's do it now. In case you want to wait, let me just warn you. Waiting can be dangerous. Eternally dangerous. Let's bow our heads. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Father, we're so caught up sometimes in all the goodies of Christmas. We forget to take a moment to prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of a king. Let us not be so caught up today, Lord, in the tinsel and the garland, blinking lights and silver balls. Let us not be so caught up with that that we don't acknowledge you. Father, in this Advent season, cause us, O God, to do some self-inspection. Cause us to cry out as David once cried out, Lord, search my heart and know my ways. See if there's any wicked thing within me. And Lord, if we find anything or we suspect anything, cause us to cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew within me a right, persevering, and a steadfast spirit. Prepare me for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare me to celebrate this Christmas with more joy, more peace than I ever knew possible. And Father, as I'm enjoying and celebrating the Lord, let me be quick to tell others about him. Let us be strong. Let us not waver in the light of the pressure. To take Jesus out of Christmas. Some very misguided people have said Christmas is only the celebration of winter solstice anyway. That I will rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to celebrate the winter solstice, go ahead. I will celebrate the birth of my King. And my Savior. Can we quietly just stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Sleep in heavenly peace. Fathers, we leave this place. May we go in that peace. Amen. Thank you. I need a couple of ushers. Bob, Brother Dave, that'd be good. Brother John, you can come right up? Okay, John and Dave. Yeah, you can do that. We're going to go ahead and take communion as we get ready to leave. Communion is the bringing of Jesus into our lives. We remember you, Lord, by bringing you into our life today. Father, help us prepare our hearts now to receive the emblems of your body and blood. Father, we ask you to come join us in our lives, the areas that we're struggling, as well as the areas with which we're celebrating. Come be with us in Jesus' name. Father, bless these emblems. Gentlemen, if you would, hang on to these as we can pass out to you. We'll partake of communion together when we go home. Sister Sharon, can I beg you to sing one of these songs? My voice is shot here. Or ask for a song, a Christmas hymn. Okay. I want to do it. My throat is just tore up here. Whichever one you guys want to get, Christmas Carol. Hallelujah. You have a preference, sister? Glory to God. I'm sure many of you will know these carols, so if you want to join in while we're passing out communion, go ahead. Turn this up so the recorder can catch it. Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church of Corinth, said in the night that he was betrayed, the Lord broke bread. He blessed it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body that's broken for you. But often as you do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ." After they had supped, he took a cup and he blessed it. He says, "This is the blood of my New Testament." He says, "As often as you do drink this cup and eat of this bread, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake of the symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I pronounce blessings upon this flock. Go with God. Allow his blessings to follow you. Prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity in Jesus' name. Amen.